40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
The Philadelphia Eagles will play the defending champion New England Patriots in the 52nd Super Bowl of American-style football on February 4th in Minneapolis, Minnesota. The Eagles soared past the visiting Minnesota Vikings Sunday 38-7 in the National Football Conference championship game, and the host Patriots rallied for a 24-20 win over the Jacksonville Jaguars in the American Football Conference title contest. The Patriots faced a 20-10 deficit in the fourth quarter, but New England's star quarterback Tom Brady threw two touchdown passes to wide receiver Danny Amendola to once again lead his team to the Super Bowl. We'll hear from Brady, but first, let's give a sunny side of sports salute to Eagles quarterback Nick Foles, who also had a big game. Foles completed 26 of his 33 passes for 352 yards and three touchdowns as the Eagles won big at home. It sets up a rematch of the 2005 Super Bowl in Jacksonville, Florida, where the Patriots edged the Eagles 24-21. Now, that was the third Super Bowl title for Tom Brady, who, along with Patriots head coach Bill Belichick, have been crucial parts of the biggest modern dynasty in the National Football League. Brady and Belichick teamed up to win two more Super Bowl titles in 2015 and 2017. An emotional Brady talks about Sunday's comeback win against the Jaguars.
We said whatever it takes, so that was a great second half, and just so proud of our team. Amazing, amazing. Just to be on a team to win these kinds of games, and it's just a great accomplishment. I'm just so proud of every guy on our team. We made so many great plays. Defense played so great when they needed to. Just an amazing game.
Tom Brady played in that amazing game with his right throwing hand wrapped and bandaged in black tape. He was listed as questionable on New England's injury report after he hurt his hand during practice last week. ESPN reported Sunday that more than 10 stitches were required to close a cut on the inside of Brady's right hand near his thumb. He comments on the injury.
I've had a lot worse. So I didn't know that on Wednesday. It was a crazy injury, and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday were a little scary, and then yesterday gained some confidence, and today, we did just enough to win.
The New England Patriots will be making their record-extending 10th Super Bowl appearance on February 4th when they play the Philadelphia Eagles. If they can beat the Eagles, the Patriots will tie the Pittsburgh Steelers for the most Super Bowl championships with 6. And 40-year-old Tom Brady holds several individual Super Bowl records, including most Super Bowl Most Valuable Player awards with 4 and most Super Bowl games played with 7. Brady also has attracted attention for his diet in recent years as he continues to defy Father Time with his long football career. I asked sports reporter Dan Friedel how much he credits Brady's diet with his longevity.
I mean, nobody knows for sure,
If the diet that he uses, which I think is trying to keep his organs healthy and not inflamed and able to recover quickly after taking hits on Sunday. He's talked a lot about stretching and pliability and his Tom Brady workout regimen that he put together with a trainer in the Boston area. Certainly being in the best condition you can be as you get into your 40s as a top level athlete is important. We have seen some NFL players make it into their 40s, especially the kickers who don't really take a beating on every play like the quarterback does. But, of course, you know, players like Joe Montana have gotten into their late 30s and 40s, and especially the way that the quarterbacks are getting protected a little bit more in the current NFL compared to how they got hit a lot after every time they threw the ball in the 70s and 60s. I think that makes a difference to a quarterback's longevity. But, the regimen that Brady has put himself through has got to be helpful in a real way, and helpful perhaps in a mental way where he feels like he's in the best condition he can be to execute his job. So more power to him if he can make it work for another 3 or 4 years. And he'll actually have to make it work because the Patriots traded Jimmy Garoppolo to the 49ers earlier this year. And there's not an established backup quarterback in New England. So Brady will have to make it another 3 or 4 years before Bill Belichick can groom a new quarterback.
Sports reporter Dan Friedel commenting on Tom Brady, the star quarterback for the Super Bowl-bound New England Patriots. Tom Brady was born in San Mateo in Northern California. Let's go to San Diego in Southern California now. That's where the world number one U.S. women's national soccer team kicked off its 2018 season with a 5-1 victory over Denmark. Mallory Pugh scored a pair of second-half goals for the American women. Alex Morgan, Julie Etz, and Crystal Dunn also scored in the friendly international match in San Diego. I'm Sonny Young. And you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Now let's go to Morocco, where action is continuing Monday evening at the African Nations Championship Football Tournament, or CHAN, for locally based players on the continent. Uganda is going against Ivory Coast in Marrakesh, and Namibia is playing Zambia in Casablanca. Now, Zambia and Namibia already have clinched berths in the quarterfinals. They each have the maximum 6 points from 2 matches, while Uganda and Ivory Coast, with no points, have been eliminated. Joining us now with results from the weekend in Morocco is reporter Samson Omale. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. Sudan held host Morocco to a 0-0 draw in their final Group A game on Sunday. Tournament host Morocco finished top of Group A with a better goal difference, while Sudan also advanced to the quarterfinals as runners-up. Guinea clinched a narrow 1-0 win over Mauritania, but the victory, however, came as a small reward for the Sele Nationale, who, along with their opponents, exit the 2018 African Nations Championship in the group stages. In Group D, Angola defeated Cameroon through a solitary goal from Ricardo Estavo in the second Group D match to occupy the number one spot in the group with 4 points from 2 games. The defeat leaves the Cameroonians placed at the bottom of Group D with no points from 2 losses so far. In other results, goals from Karof Bakua and Georges Bindebaw helped Congo secure a 2-0 win over Burkina Faso. Action will later shift to Group B today as Namibia will face Zambia while Uganda confronts Cote d'Ivoire. For the Cranes of Uganda, who will be playing for pride following their exit from the tournament, coach Sebastian Desab says lessons were learned.
To win, because one competition, it's one objective is to finish third in the group stage. It's important for us because I think we know success to score. It's important to finish one competition for one.
On Tuesday, the Super Eagles of Nigeria will play their final group match against Libya. But for coach Gerard Rohr, who is visiting the Team B Super Eagles in Morocco, he's impressed with what he has seen so far.
We are very happy about this victory. It was a very important result after the draw in the starting match. Now to win against Libya, which has a very good team, is what not easy, and we scored a nice goal on corner. So now the situation is that with the draw already, we should be in the quarterfinal.
Staying with football news, El Masri coach Hassam Hassam has been suspended for 4 games and fined 20,000 Egyptian pounds for making a rude gesture after Saturday's 2-1 game against Petrojet in the Egyptian Premier League. In boxing news, Kenya will send a 14-member team to the India Open Boxing Tournament as they aim to hone their boxers' preparations for the Gold Coast 2018 Commonwealth Games. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. In more boxing news, IBF welterweight champion Errol Spence successfully defended his title over the weekend in New York City, where he beat fellow American Lamont Peterson. Spence battered and bruised Peterson over 7 rounds before Peterson's trainer Barry Hunter threw in the towel. The undefeated Spence has now won 23 straight prize fights with 20 knockouts. Peterson's record is now 35 wins, 4 losses, and 1 draw. A crowd of about 12,000 attended the fight at Barclays Center Arena in Brooklyn, New York. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Let's take a break now for these VOA programming announcements.
From Pink to Pitbull, Beyonce to Bruno Mars, the hits live here on the Top 20 Countdown. Hi, I'm Ray McDonald, and for the past 30 years, I've been counting down the very best of the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles Chart. The hit list never sleeps, so don't you miss a moment of the action. Join me every Thursday for the Top 20 Countdown, right here and worldwide on The Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Listen to VOA's program lineup, live, anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOAsunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOAsunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @VOAsunnySports. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to athletics, one of the world's greatest marathons will be run on April 16th when the 122nd Boston Marathon is held. This year's race features 4-time Olympian and 2017 New York City Marathon champion Shalane Flanagan of the United States, as well as top distance runners from Africa and all over the globe. American Ben Beach will not win the race, but he is expected to be on the starting line. Ben is hoping to finish the Boston Marathon for a record-extending 51st consecutive time. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to a chat I had with Ben before last year's race. Ben told me that radio helped get him started with his Boston Marathon athletic adventures.
Radio is how it started for me, because I was a high school senior, sort of just listening to the radio on the afternoon of the marathon in 1967, and I had just started dabbling in running because I had sort of washed out of the sports I really cared about. And it was a sleeting day, and it just sort of, the whole idea of running 26 miles in the sleet grabbed my sense of the bizarre, and so I decided that day that I wanted to run it. Not that the weather was going to be that way, but that was the start of it.
Looking back on your very first Boston Marathon, Ben, in 1968, any special memories?
Well, the things I remember best are, one, riding out to Hopkinton on the bus and listening to the conversations of the other runners. And I knew this was a stretch for me. I'd never run a road race of any sort. And in those days, you did not have to qualify for Boston. So even though I knew I wasn't a star, but boy, this made me really ill at ease to hear these guys talking about their training. And then the finish was just spectacularly exciting. Again, I had not had a whole lot of luck as an athlete, and suddenly here I am. One, I'm able to finish. That was a pleasant surprise. And two, I was finishing in 3:23, which I did not expect to be able to do. I still can't explain it. And so the gazillions of people cheering me on and my name's being announced, and just to have, that just is a memory I'll carry with me till the very end.
In some ways, Ben, you've basically grown up with the Boston Marathon. How has your attitude towards the race changed over the years?
Well, the race has changed quite a bit, although it's in essence the same event, but it went from 900 some runners my first year, and now there will be 29 or 30,000 out there on Monday. And of course, there were a couple women the first year. Now there'll be 13,000. And, you know, they used to serve beef stew afterwards, and that's gone. So it's different and yet the same. And my attitude is pretty much the same. It's just a wonderful event that brings in tradition and the great city of Boston, and it's a wonderful course, and spectators are great. The volunteers are tremendous. It's a wonderful weekend in Boston built around Patriots Day.
Age catches up to all of us, and I know your times have slowed a bit over the years. But
a bit. Damn.
But you've also been dealing with kind of a special medical condition. Can you tell our VOA listeners about that?
Yeah, I suspect, like me, they've never heard of it. 15 years ago, suddenly I noticed my left leg was coming through more slowly, and it got more pronounced. So I spent 4 years trying to get a diagnosis. I couldn't find a single runner anywhere in the country who had this problem. And finally, a doctor at George Washington University said it could be dystonia. That's D as in David, Y-S-T-O-N-I-A, which is a movement disorder. And it's can take any number of forms. It can affect your whole body or a particular part of your body. So anyway, I was able to get into a clinic at NIH, and the doctors there confirmed that I did have dystonia. They don't know why. And basically what is going on is my brain is sending a signal to my left hamstring that when I want to extend it and take my next stride, it's pulling it back. It's telling the hamstring to contract. And so my stride is just a mess. And the main treatment for dystonia is Botox injections. So they began to give me Botox every 3 or 4 months, and that interferes somewhat with the signal from the brain. So that has helped me. Still, if you watch me run, you'd say the guy's got a serious problem. But at least I can still get out there and do some form of a run. And really, it's amazing that the body is so adaptable that a guy with this problem can still go out there and do this.
You talk about how your body is adaptable. How has your training changed over the past 15 years?
Now, my training has changed dramatically. I used to run a fair amount of mileage, as any marathoner should. So I've cut back. I run 3 days a week, and one of those days is in a stairwell because my leg, when it's going more up instead of out, is not affected as much. And the mileage is very limited. And, maybe I do 15 miles a week instead of 50 or 60. But I try to do about 2 hours of exercise a day, whether it's biking or on a rowing machine or weightlifting, elliptical trainer. A lot of cross training to keep my fitness. It's not the same as putting in the running mileage, but it helps.
Psychologically, Ben, I know some runners talk about those happy endorphins they get when they run, but the streak itself, incredible streak of consistency running the Boston Marathon, has it helped you maybe off the race course in other aspects of your life?
Well, that's an interesting question. I guess I would hope the answer is yes. I think my personality is probably sort of a keep at it sort of person. And if I like to do something, I want to keep doing it, even if there are obstacles. And so I'm not sure I'm equipped to say it has or has not.
What can you tell us about your life off the course, Ben? Are you retired now?
I'm not retired. A lot of people think I am because I don't go to an office very often. I work part-time for a group called the Partnership for Responsible Growth, which is trying to get Congress to pass a carbon fee to deal with climate change. And I'm writing a man's biography, self-published biography, and I have a few other contracts. So I'm working full time, but I'm on my own.
You also have a family. What do they think of your streak?
Well, I've been very lucky with my family. I met Carol, my wife, at a race on Beach Drive in Kensington. And so she's been just my number one supporter over the years. And the kids sort of inherited that job, I guess, to be enthusiastic about it, and they have been. They all like sports, and they've jumped in enthusiastically in this effort, and so I'm really lucky there.
That's American athlete Ben Beach, who hopes to finish his 51st consecutive Boston Marathon in April. And that interview originally aired last April on The Voice of America. Finally, in tennis, big upset Monday at the Australian Open. Six-time champion Novak Djokovic was stunned in straight sets by the South Korean Hyun Chung. In another upset, American tennis Sandgren topped the fifth seed Dominic Thiem. So a couple of big upsets on Monday. Roger Federer got through in straight sets to advance to the quarterfinals. He'll next play Thomas Berdych, who returned to the quarterfinals for a seventh time. But the big upset on Monday, Novak Djokovic bounced from the Australian Open. And that wraps up the January 22nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Skip Sisk. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The resignation in November of President Robert Mugabe in Zimbabwe has opened a window of opportunity for the long-suffering Zimbabwean people. The nearly four decades-long rule by Mugabe was marked by economic devastation, violence, disregard for the rule of law, and contempt for fundamental human rights. In 2001, the United States began imposing targeted measures against the government of Zimbabwe, including financial sanctions against selected individuals and entities, a ban on transfers of defense items and services, and a suspension of non-humanitarian government-to-government assistance. Nevertheless, as U.S. Acting Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs Stephanie Sullivan noted recently in testimony before Congress, the United States has maintained a strong relationship with the Zimbabwean people. Since Zimbabwe's independence in 1980, the United States has provided significant development assistance in the areas of health, food security, education, and economic opportunity for Zimbabwe citizens, though none of the U.S. foreign assistance now involves direct funding to the government. Acting Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary Sullivan said the change in Zimbabwe's government offers an opportunity for reform that could allow the United States to engage in ways we have not recently been able to do. That means, she emphasized, that current President Emmerson Mnangagwa must demonstrate his commitment to a democratic, just, healthy, and prosperous Zimbabwe. The U.S. policy for expanded engagement requires a focus on constitutional democracy, free and fair elections, respect for human rights and the rule of law, and an improved trade and investment climate. The country has a strong civil society and an experienced political opposition whose voices must count in charting a path forward, Ms. Sullivan said. The military needs to return to its barracks, and state institutions should be demilitarized. Perpetrators of abuses against civilians should be held accountable, regardless of party affiliation. And the government must engage in hard economic reform, including addressing budget deficits and reducing corruption. If President Mnangagwa wants improved diplomatic relations and access to international assistance and cooperation, particularly with the United States, his government must first implement reforms, declared Acting Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary Sullivan. The United States stands ready to help the government and the people of Zimbabwe to achieve these goals. Fundamentally, this will be about the people of Zimbabwe, she added. We want to support their aspirations for a country that can reach its full potential.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello Africa, this is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5 and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features and sports. Also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.